We hope this explanation of God's word enriches your life. To help you understand the audience for this talk, we suggest you read the context material on the About Us page. Please read also our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material from philipjensen.com. The following sermon was given at St. Matthias Family Church, where Philip Jensen was senior minister.
Have you ever noticed that when people talk to you about conversations that they've had, that they always remember more clearly what they said than what the other person said? But most of the report is about their contribution. We've never noticed it about ourselves, of course. When we report about it, we always, of course, remember everybody's contribution, not just our own, but other people, I have noticed, especially in conversations I've been members of, they have paid an enormous amount of attention to their own contributions and have missed mine. That is, it's a lot harder to listen than it is to talk. Listening is a very difficult task which requires considerable concentration, an enormous motivation that you actually want to hear and understand what the other person is thinking, what's making them tick. It requires a lot of effort. And of all activities, it's one of the most tiring activities that's available to you, to actually just listen. Yet listening is essential for maintaining relationships. Listening is essential for maintaining any kind of connection and friendship with the other person. Your children, your spouse, your friends. You've got to be a listener if you're going to keep in relationship with them. And good listeners are the people who have most friends. Good listeners are the people that you like talking to, and the people you like talking to are the people that you make your friends. And as we listen to people, so we develop friendship. Now, we all love friendship. Being in a friendly, secure relationship at home or at work makes life worth living, doesn't it? Having real friendship with our partner in life, having real friendship with our children, really makes home life just what is really home life should be about. But the safer we are in our relationships with people, the more secure, the more likely we're to presume upon it. The more likely we're to take the other person for granted. The more likely we are not to listen to them properly. To assume we know what they're going to say before they say it. That dreadful habit of finishing off the other person's sentence. It's dreadful when anybody does it to you. It's annoying when the other person takes so long that they don't finish it. But that habit of not really listening. You see it with young couples, don't you? You see it when they first start out and they won't get off the telephone. They'll talk for hours and hours on the telephone and they'll listen for hours and hours on the telephone. Everything and anything that that other person has got to say is of enormous significance. Doesn't matter how trivial, doesn't matter how profound, it is listened to, it is weighed, it is evaluated. You can't get enough of the other person's views, of their ideas, of their talk, of their hopes. But as the relationship wears on through the years of marriage and children, the talking decreases, and more significantly, the listening decreases. As we know the relationship is there and it's all been established and we've done the work of building it, well, we don't have to keep on building it anymore. We just know where it is. We take each other for granted, and in taking for each other for granted, we don't listen. And after a while, we don't talk. And after a while, the relationship just dries up. Because without our talking, without our listening, we're no longer relating to each other. Here's Israel's danger with God. Here's our danger with God as well. When we first become Christians, well, you can't get enough of the Word of God. You can't hear too much of it. You're keen for studying it and for learning it, and every time you turn the page of the Bible, new ideas spring out, new notions, new concepts, new ways of living, new thinking. And as you go to church or to a Bible study group, you meet with more Christians and they've got more things to contribute, and you learn this and that. And it's just the need is insatiable to hear more about God and to hear more from God. But as we become established in our relationship with God, as we come to know him as our Father and to trust him and to find the way in which he cares for us and continues to care for us, as we come to know the Lord Jesus better, and to know that he will never fail us. So there's a habit to take him for granted, isn't there? And there's a habit that listening, real listening, actually dries up. And talking, real praying, dries up as well. It becomes like a marriage that doesn't work as we take God for granted. Israel's great rallying cry is found in the book of Deuteronomy. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, that daily the Jew was to recite, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Hear, O Israel. Not just let the noise hit the eardrums, but listen, understand, obey. The Hebrew word for listen, for hear, is exactly the same Hebrew word for obey. For if you're listening to God, really listening to God, then you should be obeying God. Hearken to what's being said. Take attention to what is being said. Understand, obey what is being said, because God made a covenant, a contract, an agreement with Israel. A covenant with its commandments that were to be given and to be taught and to be obeyed. As God related to Israel by his word that he called upon the people to listen to hearken to teach their children and their children's children and to obey it and to base their life upon it. There's a lovely prayer in the Book of Common Prayer of the Anglican Church which encourages us that we might read, mark, learn and inwardly digest the word of God. That we listen, that we hear. And in this contract of God with Israel were blessings and promises. The blessings were that they were to live as God's people in his promised land, a land flowing with the wealth of milk and honey, a land in which they would enjoy wealth and prosperity, a land in which they could raise their children and see their children's children and their children's third and fourth generation. A land in which they will be his people and he would be their God. But those who would not listen, those who would not hear the voice of God, those who would not pay attention to the covenant, to the contract, there were curses for them. For they would be cut off from God, and they would be cut off from his land, and from its wealth and prosperity, and they would continue to be punished to three and four generations, for not only they would suffer the curse, but their family and their future. Now it's this covenant of Deuteronomy 6, you can find it in, this covenant that is really being spelt out for us in Jeremiah 11 again, if you would turn to that passage that was read for us earlier, Jeremiah 11. This is the point of God's word to Jeremiah. He challenges Jeremiah to listen, same word as you hear, O Israel, exactly the same word, listen. Listen to the terms of the covenant, 11:2, and tell them to the people that they might listen to them as well. Indeed, what they are to do is obey me, the end of verse 4. Obey me and do everything I command, and you will be my people. And then I'll fulfill the oath which I swore to your forefathers to give you the land flowing with milk and honey. Listen and obey, and you will receive the blessings. But if you do not listen, verse 3, cursed is the one who doesn't listen, who doesn't obey the terms of the covenant. Chapter 11, verses 1 to 5, just is restating the agreement, the contract of God. Verses 6 to 8, God reminds Jeremiah that the people have broken the covenant. They have not done what they should have done, but in the past they have continued to refuse to listen to God. So the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the towns of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, listen to the terms of the covenant and follow them. Because from the time I brought the forefathers out of Egypt until this day, I warned them again and again, saying, obey me. But they did not listen. They didn't obey. They didn't pay attention. And that is why they have continued to suffer the curse of God. That is why they're not living in the promised land, in the prosperity that they should be, in the security, in the safety that they should be. And God is telling Jeremiah this because it's happening all again. Verses 9 to 17 is the fact that the people are again ignoring God and breaking his covenant. They are not listening to God, they are not obeying him. And so God is promising Jeremiah that God will curse them once more. They have turned to other gods, verse 10. The shameful gods of Baal, verse 13. And even though they're continuing in temple worship, that only heightens their sinfulness. They think that going up to the temple and offering consecrated meat is going to somehow spare them from the terrible, terrible things they are doing in worshipping false gods. Nothing can save them. They are like a tree that is about to be struck by lightning. God planted the tree, God wanted the fruitful olive tree, but they're going to be burnt up. Those who burn their incense to Baal, and you see the irony of it. They're all keen on fires, they're all keen on burning incense to the god. Well, God is going to burn them in incense to nothing. God's punishments always sound hard and horrible. They're meant to. They are hard. They are horrible. But yet he is just in his punishment because his punishments always fit the crime. The people were to listen to God, but they were not listening. Daily Israel may recite the words, "Hear, O Israel, listen, O Israel," but they didn't listen. Now, the words may be recited, but reciting the words is not the same as listening. I met an interesting student some years ago, a Palestinian, who had grown as a Palestinian Christian. Many of the Palestinians, of course, are not Muslims, but Christians, growing up in a Christian school, and had learnt her New Testament in Arabic off by heart, the whole of it. Hadn't become a Christian, of course. Didn't know anything about Christianity, just could recite the Old Testament, the New Testament, not the Old, the New Testament, just could recite the New Testament in Arabic. Very spectacular exercise in memory. Nothing to do necessarily with God. Came as a great shock when she heard and understood the gospel for the first time, understood the words that she was saying. She moved from being a parrot to being a daughter of God. Huge difference. You can recite the words without listening, can't you? You can hear what God is saying without hearing what God is saying. These people were not listening. Oh, they would go to the temple and offer the sacrifices, but they actually weren't praying to God, they were praying to the other gods. But look at how God will punish them. And notice how the punishment fits the crime. They wouldn't listen to God. Therefore, God will not listen to them. Verse 11. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will bring on them a disaster they cannot escape. Although they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Or 14. Do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their distress. The other gods won't help them, of course. They're going to pray to the other gods in verse 12 at the time. They'll cry out to the gods to whom they burn incense, because those other gods don't exist, so there's no point praying to them. There's actually going to be no help for them there. But they will also pray to the true and living God, but the true and living God will turn a deaf ear to them. He will not listen, he will not hearken, he will not answer, he will not respond to their cries. Now, the prophets of Israel were great ones for praying for the people, for pleading the cause of the people to whom they were preaching. They preached God's word to the people, and they prayed to God for the people. Moses repeatedly stands between God and his people, calling upon the people to be godly and calling upon God to have mercy on the sinful people. So in Exodus 32 we read, "Turn from your fierce anger, relent, do not bring disaster upon your people." And God relented and did not bring disaster on that occasion. Or in chapter 34, or in Numbers chapter 14, when he prayed, "In accordance with your great love, forgive the sins of these people." Moses is always pleading to God for the people. Samuel, both a prophet and a priest, did the same thing. In the face of the Philistine threat, where the people asked him, he cried to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. But now we're told, even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not go out to this people. You see it just a couple of chapters over, chapter 15, verse 1, I just quoted to you there. Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart wouldn't go out to this people. Do not pray for them, Jeremiah, because, Jeremiah, I am not going to listen. I'm not listening to them. I'm not listening to you. The prophet's prayer will get nowhere with this people. And so repeatedly in these chapters, you'll find Jeremiah told not to pray for the people. You'll see it in chapter 7, verse 16. Chapter 7, verse 16. I will thrust you from my presence just as I did all your brothers, the people of Ephraim. So don't pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen, says God. Our verse before us today, 11:14, do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their distress. Or chapter 14, verse 11, just reverse the numbers, the Lord said to me, do not pray for the well-being of this people. Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with the sword, the famine, and the plague. The prophetic prayer is of no value this time. Now, for the godless and the superficially Christian, God not listening doesn't sound much of a threat. God not listening doesn't sound so hard and horrible. But this is the horror of judgment. Not the curses of being consumed up by a lightning bolt, but God not listening is the real horror in judgment. Ponder it, friends. Just think, is there anything worse than God not listening? Not listening to our prayers when we cry out for help, our pleas when we need to be rescued in the hour of need. I mean, even in life, when you call out for your protector, the policeman in the street when you're being bashed and you call out for help, the judge before whom you appear because you've been treated unjustly, the adult who's around, your parents. When you go to your parents with a problem that you're having in school and they turn a deaf ear to you, and they allow you to suffer, is there anything much worse? When your parents won't come and protect you, when your protector won't care for you, will not help you. It's not a matter that they cannot, I mean, sometimes they cannot help you, but they won't help you. They refuse to help you. Your own parents knowingly allowing you to be bashed up, to be beaten, to be attacked, to be treated unjustly. That you cry out to them and you ask for help and they turn their back on you. It's the agony which is worse than the bashing, isn't it? The bashing and the bruises you will recover from, but the agony of being let down by the person who is there to protect you, the person who is your defender, the person who was for you. You never feel that you could recover from such a betrayal. Parents, do pay attention to your children, won't you, when they tell you what's happening at school, and go and defend them and stand up for them. It's essential to our security. It's always our business, isn't it? But this is the horror of God's judgment. That when God's people called out to God for help in the middle of their disaster, he went to sleep and ignored them. God not listening to our prayers is a very strange notion for Christians, isn't it? My guess is you have never heard a sermon on God not listening to your prayers before. I know I've never preached a sermon on God not listening to your prayers. It's not part of our normal Christian way of thinking. Because we're encouraged by scriptures to call God our Father. and to bring everything to God in prayer and anything to God in prayer, to pray without ceasing, we're told, to enter into the throne room of God with confidence and with boldness, to cast all our anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you. There's any number of scriptures in the New Testament that encourage us under all and any and every circumstance to turn to God in prayer. That God is the Father who listens. That we sinful fathers know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more our Father in heaven will give good things to those who ask. Every part of the New Testament you can be thinking of is all about how God welcomes our prayers. God wants our prayers. We've got to trust God and turn to him anytime, every time, all the time. And so we are bold in our approach to God. We are bold to enter into God's presence. And we have this sense of security that any time I want to, I can just stop and talk to God about it. But of course, the sense of security means that you take it for granted. The sense of security, which we should have, leads sinful people to ignore it, to forget what a privilege it is to be able to talk to him about anything and everything, and to forget how much it cost to establish such a privilege. You see, we can approach God with boldness and confidence, and we must do so because of Christ. In Ephesians 3 we read, in Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. It's because of Christ that God listens to us. Because of Christ's loud cries and tears, God listens to us. It's because God didn't listen to Christ that God listens to us. For in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried. He called out to his Father to spare him, to take from him the cup of God's wrath, to free him from death and allow him to avoid the cross that lay before him. And while his Father heard him, heard his willingness to do his Father's will, nevertheless not my will but your will be done, he heard him, yet his Father did not accede to his requests. His Father did not spare him. His Father did not rescue him. His Father did not take the cup of wrath from his hand. His Father did not take the hour away from him. But he died, calling out the agonized psalmist's cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken, deserted by his Father. A Father who could do all things, for all things are possible to you, Father. A Father who could do all things, but who would not do this for him. For God did not listen to him, but rather he bore the curse of God. The curse, the judgment, in all its horror, of God not listening when you are being destroyed. The curse of God was falling on his own Son, that we may be spared that curse, and that we may be listened to. That's why we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not just a little set of words you ramble at the end of your prayer before you hit the word Amen. It's because of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only because of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only through Jesus Christ our Lord that we can know of a certainty that God is listening. Because we do not deserve to have God listen to us. We deserve to have God close his ears to us. But God listens to us because he closed his ears to his Son. And therefore he opens up his ears to us, to sinners, For Christ has opened the ears of God to people who willfully wouldn't listen to God. You and me. How pathetic is our prayer life? How we have taken God for granted. How we've taken for granted the enormity of the privilege that is ours, that God will listen to us anytime, anywhere, on anything. How easily we forget the cost involved in God being willing to listen to us, we who are sinful. How pathetic is our prayer life. How we have taken for granted what Christ died to secure for us. What a privilege it is for us that God is not deaf to our cries. But yet, how can we now pray to God without listening to Him? How can we come into His presence? How can we approach Him? How can we cry out to Him? How can we now make our request to Him while our hearts are refusing to listen to Him? Not listening in prayer, listening to His word. You don't listen to God in prayer, you talk to God in prayer. He listens to you in prayer. You listen to God in listening to His word, to His covenantal word, the gospel, the scriptures, the Bible. That's where you hear God speak. To pray without reading the Bible, or to read the Bible without prayer, is nonsense. God is listening to us because of the word He has spoken to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are to be listening to Him if we want Him to be listening to us. God warned Jeremiah of the judgment on the non-listeners. The non-listeners would not be listened to. A judgment that He has provided in Jesus because He didn't listen to Him so that He would listen to us, we who are now to listen to His word. And so, let us be listening people, drawing near to God in confidence and boldness and making our requests known to Him, talking to Him in prayer on anything and everything, with gratitude in our hearts, and listening to His word. Do not pray for this people, Jeremiah, nor offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen to them. I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their distress. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege we have of calling You our Heavenly Father. We thank You for the cost You paid in order that we can call You Father. We thank You that You did not spare Your own Son in bringing us forgiveness and in listening to us. And we pray, Father, that You would open our hearts and minds and ears to understand Your word and change us that we might be people who listen to You, that we might hearken to what You say, that we might understand what Your word means, that we might read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, that we might be obedient to You. Thank You, Father, for paying the penalty for us in Your Son, that we might be forgiven and be in relationship with You. Help us not to take it for granted, Father, but to use the privilege that You've paid for at such cost to Yourself, that we might be men and women of God, talking with you and listening to you. And we ask this through the one who has made it possible, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the talks on philipjensen.com. Please check our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material on philipjensen.com.